If the Seattle management isn't give you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing today?
Chilling. You?
Doing good, baby. Doing good. Had a great weekend.
Yeah, man. Me too, man. A lot of great sports. We had a great fight night, you know. So, you know, it's Monday. I want to get right to it, guys, because we really had a big incident happen in Brooklyn yesterday. You know, when Kyrie, unfortunately, went down for the Brooklyn Nets, and it gave the opportunity for the Milwaukee Bucks to bounce back and even up the series at 2 games apiece. And now it looks like Kevin Durant's going to have to carry this heavy burden by himself. James Harden is out. As you guys see on the screen right now, Kyrie Irving ended up hurting his ankle, and he's ruled out for game 5 officially earlier today. So, Sander, you know, you're the Heat/Nets fan of the group now. You know, I know you got a little fandom of both. I'm just teasing you. I know you like love your Heat, but you like your Nets a lot too. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much trouble is Brooklyn in now without the two guys there?
Well, right now at this very moment, they should be at a 6 or 7, because right now it's not looking good for them, especially with Kyrie going down with that ankle injury. You saw it was very unintentional from Giannis, but Giannis just couldn't keep out of the way of his landing zone. And Kyrie, you know, he just stepped on that ankle and really twisted it bad. The good thing I hear is that it's not bad enough to keep him out the series, but for sure they want to keep him out of this, at least game 5. It's tough, guys. It's tough. It's really hard to try and make up for 60 points on an off night from players like Kyrie and Harden. You know, you said it just now, JJ. Durant's going to have to carry it by himself. He can give you 30, but he could give you a 30 piece on an off night. But is that enough with the Brooklyn Nets as presently constructed with Kyrie, with no Harden, to get through the Milwaukee Bucks? I just don't think so. Right now, if the Nets are healthy, they win. If the Nets are not healthy, they lose, plain and simple. And right now, if Kyrie's injury gets worse and doesn't get better, then for sure, I think just by Durant himself, I don't think the Brooklyn Nets are going to get through the Milwaukee Bucks. It's literally just everything is falling in place for Milwaukee right now. No, they didn't have Harden for basically only 50 seconds into game 1. Then they lose Kyrie in game 4. It's literally a perfect storm for Milwaukee to take advantage. And if Milwaukee somehow finds a way to blow it and not take advantage in game 5 and lose, then you're going to really look at Giannis some type of way, because that's it. Durant doesn't have his guns. So if you don't have Kyrie, if you don't have Harden, you could get through the series. You don't have Kyrie, you're losing. You're losing every single game, because Durant alone, with Blake Griffin, Joe Harris, with the guys, or with Green, who came back from injury, he played solid, but just that alone is not enough with Durant to get through Milwaukee. So if it's bad, if Kyrie's going to have to miss the entire series, the Nets are done for, because I don't think Harden coming off, you know, just being he's coming in cold, even though, you know, you saw it earlier in the season, he looked out of shape and gave you a triple double with over 30 points. I just don't think in the playoff time you're gonna see that from Harden. I think you see Harden play well, but I just believe that I don't think it's gonna be enough right now at this moment in time, because Milwaukee, since game 8, they've been clicking on all cylinders. Brooklyn losing Kyrie definitely hurts them, man. I don't know how you can make up for 25 to 30 from Kyrie and then another 25 to 30 from Harden. I just don't know how you can make that up, guys. So right now, as presently constructed, they had a 6 or 7, and if they lose tomorrow night with no Kyrie and no James Harden, if game 6, James Harden and Kyrie don't play, you might as well call it a wrap, because Milwaukee is going to just win this series. It's injuries, guys. Injuries are going to derail it. We all know if the Brooklyn Nets were 100% healthy, this wouldn't even be a competition. They blew them out by almost 50 with just Kyrie. So it's literally falling into place for Milwaukee right now. They need to take advantage. Brooklyn, be on high alert, because if Kevin Durant doesn't have his guys with him, start booking your vacations.
I just want to start by saying this. JJ, I told you this earlier. When I saw it, I laughed. When I saw Kyrie Irving go, I never laughed so hard in my life. Really, seriously. It's going to make me sound awful, but guess what? I laughed. You want to step unlucky? Guess what? You got unlucky. I don't care what nobody says, bro. I was chuckling up a mother flipping storm. Homeboy deserved it. I don't care what no one says. I don't care. I laughed. I enjoyed it. Matter of fact, JJ, I watched that thing 4 times replay. Chuckled. Which kind of brings me out of the book. To everyone who's saying that Giannis did it on purpose, you're stupid. You're morons. Because people try to say, they try to compare to what Zaza Pachulia did to Kawhi Leonard. I'm like, first of all, you morons, look, he's simply trying to box out. Now, when Zaza Pachulia did it, he lunged in to contest a shot, and then he took another extra step to get in his landing zone. All Giannis right here is just trying to do, he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. If he misses, I'm just trying to get that. So it's an unlucky play. It's still hilarious. I don't care what nobody says. He deserves it. I don't care. I feel no remorse whatsoever. But how should Brooklyn feel? You said 6 or 7. Bro, that's way too low. I'm at a 10. Because, again, this argument, bro, think about it. Think who Kevin Durant is going to go to war with. Who's his second best player? Quick. Who's his second best player? An old Jeff Green?
What, I hear you.
That sharpshooter Joe Harris? I mean, these guys as your second best player? But I will say this, though. JJ, I told you this. The Bucks better not come in thinking, excuse my French, shit gonna be sweet. Mm-hmm. If they come in with that mentality, I'm telling you, this Bucks team is gonna lose by 30. They better not do it. Because Giannis and KD are going to cancel each other out. Both of them are going to drop 30. We know this. They're going to cancel each other out. Now it's going to come down to the role players. Again, Chris Middleton, Game 3, he was phenomenal. I haven't seen much like that from Drew Holiday. He's been solid, sure. But you're going to need one, just one role player, just one, to step up and just go. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter. It could be one of those two. It could be Brooke Lopez giving you 25. Don't matter. One of them is going to have to step. If these role players start settling down and thinking, oh yeah, with these injuries, it's gonna be a wrap. If the instant they start thinking like that, it's over. Like this series, JJ, you said it earlier. The door is wide open. The hinges are stuck, so the door can't close, and there's no lock on the door. If you cannot get in this house, you are a moron. Point blank. Oh, look at him. Dorando, look at him. By the way, if you guys at home, you don't know who this is. On the screen right now is Kyrie Irving holding his ankle, crying. Oh, Judah May, head ass boy. Anyway. I will say this, the Bucks better not come in thinking it's going to be sweet. They come in thinking it's going to be, because Giannis he's going to give you your thing, you know, Giannis is going to be fine. My concern is Drew Holiday. I'm still waiting on that game from Drew Holiday like in this series. I'm waiting on it. I'm like what happened with Chris Middleton in Game 3. I'm still waiting for that from Drew Holiday. He has the potential. I'm still waiting on that. Maybe this is the opportunity he can. But I'm going to tell you right now. If these Bucks do not win the next two, and it's just Kevin Durant, you're gonna have to start. You're gonna have to reevaluate the coach, the office, and Giannis. You're gonna have to reevaluate everything you're doing, 100%. And it's gonna be some very, very awkward conversations that everyone's gonna have to sit through, whether they like it or not. It's gonna be an awkward conversation with Giannis, and the main question is, fam, look, bro, congratulations, you are MVP. Where's your jump shot? That's going to be an awkward conversation to have with him. Yo, Mike Budenholzer, when you came here, you said you were the missing piece. You're here. Guess what? You claim you're the missing piece. We're still missing the finals. Awkward conversation. The office. Oh, yeah, bro. We're giving Giannis all these pieces. Congratulations. The one piece for mission is the championship piece. Answer my questions. A lot of awkward questions are going to be thrown around.
One more thing. You're forgetting one more thing. Middleton's paid. Holiday's paid, and Giannis is paid.
That doesn't matter.
It definitely does matter because
no, it does because they can still get shipped out.
Who are you gonna bring around to surround them? If you're gonna bring more pieces in, who are you gonna bring when most of your money is into three of them?
What I just said? If they can't get through it, there's no other piece you can bring in. There's no piece. You gotta blow it up. There's no piece.
Yeah.
Well, there's no piece you can go in and get. Like, the only piece you need is to give a piece on Giannis so he can become a shooter. That's the only piece that's missing from this whole equation. If he can't shoot, they're not gonna be able to really, this is it. This is their year. After this, questions are gonna be asked and they won't have answers. And I will say one thing about Kevin Durant. For the most of his career, Kevin Durant was lucky enough to have some of the best talent on his team. His rookie year in Seattle, okay, that was horrible. I'm not going to hold nothing. But in OKC, a lot of times they were a powerhouse. And even after James left, they were still favorites at times in the West, right? He leaves them and goes to Golden State with two of the greatest shooters we have ever seen, and Draymond was there, okay? So every single opportunity he's went through, it's, I don't want to say it's easy, but he's had backup. He's one of the few superstars who's never had to face adversity on the court. He's never had to be like, oh my God, for instance, like LeBron, I'm down 3-1. Okay, cool. Everyone talking about evil eye Bron. Nah, bro, earbud Bron. That's what I call him. Cause I love the photo when they show the graphic on the bottom. No team has ever came from it. You just see Bron chilling there, glasses on with the earbud. D Wade has done it occasionally. There, like, a lot of guys have done it. And now it's Kevin Durant's turn to be like, yo, look, it don't matter. I'm going to win this series. Now, I believe he still has an opportunity to. However, Kevin Durant is going to have to take most of the shots and play no defense. And the reason I say play no defense is because since he's going to be the best player on the court, they're probably going to be playing him a lot of minutes, and he's going to have the ball in his hands about 85% of the time. And the only 15% of the time he's not going to have the ball is because he's going to be trying to move it off screens, or he's going to try to get a mismatch he likes so that way he can get the ball, like line up in the post or whatever the case may be. So there's going to be a lot of Kevin Durant having the ball, whether it be passing, shooting, whatever the case may be. So this is going to be his opportunity to prove, look, man, yeah, my career, you know, I've always been blessed to have great players, but this, I'm having adversity. I'm now stepping up to it, and I'm thriving in it. We're going to be able to see that, but again, based on how this team is, bro, Kevin Durant's going to have to average 50. Because this starting five is no disrespect, bro, but it's horrendous. This, especially in the play. And again, if this was the first round, you can get away with that. That's fine. But when you start getting to, like, the tougher, because, again, the Bucks and the 76ers are basically the only two teams, because we all know that the East is top-heavy. It was those three, and then everybody else was just fighting, okay, who's going to get the four seed and go a little further to pretend that we had a successful season. That's all it really was. So, JJ, if he wins without Harden, they'll say more about him or the Bucks. I depends.
Damn, I think it says a lot about both.
Again, it depends.
It all depends how the game goes.
Yeah, because if Kevin Durant has an efficient night and he's ripping them apart, then that says more about him. Now, if he has an off night, so it kind of all depends on how it is. Because, again, Kevin Durant is a dude that – and I love how PJ Tucker – if you actually look at the PJ Tucker actually had KD on lock that this game, bro.
Had him 0-for-5 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to the point. Kevin Durant is the weakest-minded superstar in the history of the NBA. He's so fragile. And if you actually watch a little bit, just focus on them. You see PJ Tucker chatting at him. You still see PJ Tucker saying stuff and trying to get understand. And I feel like that's kind of what helped PJ Tucker keep him in there. Because there were times where, like, Kevin Durant should have passed the ball or should have passed the ball. But no, he wanted to prove a point and be like, nah, you ain't nothing. So, I mean, if PJ Tucker keeps on doing this and getting in his head, it's going to be tough for the Nets. But, yeah, as of right now, I got to say it's like a 10, bro.
Okay, you know. Before I make my 1-10 pick, I do want to reiterate on your fact. I do think that everybody that's saying that Giannis did this intentionally, absolutely not. You know, I don't think it was an intentional dirty play at all. It really looked like he was just trying to get a box out, clear out, and Kyrie just unfortunately landed on his, what, size 18 foot. Giannis is huge. You know, he has a bigger foot. All three of our heads don't make his 1 foot. Dude's a humongous human being. You know, so I do want to clear the air that with him. On top of that, he doesn't have the history of being a dirty player. So there's nothing to really tell you this was intentional. From a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to put it at a 7 because there's definitely, you know, urgency in the Brooklyn locker room. Now you do go to Milwaukee. You play a sloppy game in game 3. You know, I think a lot of that was an off night also with the good defense that Milwaukee presented in that scenario. And in game four, you know, you lose Kyrie. And if you're KD, you got to take that moment to shine and make it all about you and be like, yo, you know, Skip Bayless tells me I'm the best player on the planet. I'm going to prove him right. I'm going to go do what I'm going to do. And he couldn't. You know what I mean? And I'm not here to discredit KD because I think that he's at worst. It doesn't matter where you put him. He doesn't fall out of anybody's top five players right now. It'll be impossible to leave him out the top five. He's that gifted of a player. He's an all-time great. We all know that. But, you know, a lot of what the playoffs do in these series is really the momentum. Right now, it really feels like Milwaukee has seized the momentum of the series. And, you know, you got to capitalize on these injuries, like you said, Sander. You know, you don't got James Harden in the first four games. Now you don't got Kyrie. You mentioned Pride. The door is wide open. You got to run by it, especially knowing that if you win in game five, you could go home to game six in Milwaukee and don't have to worry about game seven because this team is hobbling on basically one leg right now. You know, but I'm very excited to see what is Kevin Durant going to look like in this next game because, listen, welcome to the world of LeBron James, Kevin Durant. LeBron James has been tasked to do the most with whatever talent he has presented. So now it is your responsibility, Kevin Durant, to do the same thing. And, you know, LeBron obviously has the advantage of always playing the point guard. It's not a specialty that Kevin Durant plays. Well, listen, young man, you better learn pretty quick in the next 48 hours because that's what's going to be demanded out of your greatness. Because if he wins, he's going to get most of the praise. And just as he's going to get most of the praise if he wins, he's going to receive the lion's share of the fault if they end up losing this game, Sander. So, listen, I think Kevin Durant is more than capable of stepping up to the task and dropping 50 on these Bucks because Kevin Durant's the most gifted scorer I think I've seen in my lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's just so efficient. He could pull up from anywhere. So I really expect a big game out of him, Sander, and I'm hoping that for his sake, even if they were to lose this game, we don't point the finger at him and be like, damn, Kevin Durant, you choked.
100%. Like, if he goes out there and drops 40, 45, and they still somehow find a way to lose, then, yeah, for sure, you can't really look at Kevin Durant in that situation. But if he has an off game, you know, again, how much do you expect, you know, one of the better defensive teams in the playoffs to fare against a team who just has one superstar in Kevin Durant? I expect the focus from Milwaukee to be on Durant, make sure that he doesn't get in rhythm. And if you shut down Durant, you have a chance of winning this game and maybe going, like you said, to Milwaukee and finish the series. But I'll tell you right now, guys, this is when I'm looking at Durant right now in that roster with the Nets with no Kyrie and James Harden. That's exactly what LeBron had with Dellavedova, Iman Shumpert, J.R. Henny Smith. So it's petty because this is how it felt when you was sent home by Golden State because they came back 3-1 on Ya. This is exactly how it felt. And now, you know, the pressure is on. I just have a question for Pride, though, bro. You said that you're at a 10 with them, but you still to win the series.
So I still had them to win the series?
No, you said you're at a 10 at urgency, but you also said that Kevin Durant and the Nets could still win the series.
Okay, reiterate to me what I said.
You said you were.
I said if the Bucks come in and they do not come in focused and they just come in thinking it's a wrap, yes, they're gonna lose. Okay. I don't think that's a surprise. I don't think that's a shock. Like if the Bucks come in thinking, oh yeah, they're down two of their players and it's a wrap, and they come out playing like at 60%, they're gonna lose.
Okay. Especially with the caliber of player that Kevin Durant is, you know, Kevin Durant could light you up for 50 points. You know, especially if he decides, all right, I'm going to put the ball in my hand and I'm going to put it in the bucket. You know, we all know that Kevin Durant is more than capable of going nuclear, Sander.
Right. So, you know, I think the Bucks are going to win? Yes, I do. But that doesn't mean that they can just come in and be like, okay, cool, whatever, and play like 50%, like half hustle and like then they'll win. Like that's not really going to work because, again, I've said for this defense is great. I do like this defense, but there's times where on offense, they do leave something to be desired. Because there are times where this offense seems like it can't really do much, so they kind of overly rely on their defense. So if you're a team that, yeah, sure, you can lock a team down, sure, great. But if you can't, you know, if putting the ball in the bucket is sometimes difficult for you, it don't matter who you're playing. If you're not playing at 100%, you're putting yourself in a position where you're going to lose. If this Bucks team comes out 100%, oh, the next two games, it's a wrap.
And I want to make another point, and this is a Milwaukee point. You know, we've kept with Kyrie Irving and James Harden out. Four of the best players will be in Milwaukee's side because it's going to go Kevin Durant, Giannis, Jrue Holiday, and Chris Middleton, or however you want to put the. So Milwaukee has three of the top four players on the court coming into game five. So those two guys that I just mentioned, and Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, they're going to feel the pressure because they know, yo, we got to ride this out with Giannis. Giannis is depending on us. Milwaukee is depending on us because all we got to do is outplay Joe Harris. Blake Griffin might be questionable for the game. He's not fully cleared yet. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. I forgot exactly why, but Steve Nash didn't put him on the floor. Jeff Green, you got all these guys who aren't the caliber of players that Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton are. So those guys right now, they're the biggest X factors, and they really got to step up and make sure that they hold down their end of the deal. Because like you mentioned, guys, these guys are paid. They're paid guys. They're expected to go out there and perform. And this was supposed to be a makeshift big three. I think that Chris Broussard made a great point. You know, he said you could only be considered a big two or big three if you got players that are going to the Hall of Fame. I don't consider Middleton or Jrue Holiday Hall of Famers, at least not at this point. I think that maybe they could grow and maybe make a resume for themselves. But right now, Giannis is looking like the only guy that's making a credible case for himself. So I don't see Milwaukee as a big three or even a big two in any way. But can those guys go out there and make it a combined effort to make themselves a big two by being half stars each? Absolutely. So the pressure right now going into game five, to me, the biggest pressure lies within Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton.
Actually, I'm going to have to disagree with you. I don't think there's that much pressure on them at all. Because think about it. They don't really got to go play defense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, bizarrely enough to say, and because I get your point, JJ, but it's almost like addition by subtraction. They don't have to fiend on the defensive end no more. So now they can kind of just be like, okay, cool, sure. You know what I mean? Again, like,
they're You can't do that, bro. Because you. So as I was saying, they can't go into game five.
They're not going to have to worry about Kyrie, a guy with a ball handler who's going to keep on trying to drive. Bro. You only really got to worry about, like Joe Harris. Imagine, you know what I mean? Again, Joe Harris, he could go off, but then he could be cold. If you keep him cold, you'll be fine. And again, he's not a guy who, when he dribbles, you're not worried about him. It's not like, oh, he's got the rock. He's going to dribble, break us down. Same thing with Blake Griffin. Same thing with Jeff Green. Regardless if Blake plays or not, you know what I mean? It's more along the lines of like, you know.
I get your point, Pride, but I slightly disagree because you're saying, oh, yeah, they could kind of step back on the defensive end. Doesn't mean that not those really other guys can't make shots. But nonetheless, I see Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, and I don't see them as – I could count for them on 20. I feel like they're going to have to go out there and work for those 20 points. Like, I don't feel like they're offensively gifted to be like, yeah, I could pencil him in for a 20-point game, especially not Jrue Holiday, especially not in this series. He hasn't dropped 20 at all this whole series, and Chris Middleton only had the game three performance. So you could be optimistic thinking, oh, yeah, no, because they don't have to exert so much energy on the defensive side, maybe the offense will pick up. But, you know, that doesn't mean, like you said, they should come in like a days ago and not play defense because you made the great point. If they go in there and half-ass it, those guys won't let you up because they're all NBA players and will put up points.
Right. And, again, like I said, they're going to come in and they're – in essence, the only guys they're really going to guard is three-point shooters. They're going to try to guard the guys who like to catch and shoot. So if you're guarding a guy who's catching and shooting, that's less of a strain on you rather than guarding a guy like Kyrie who prefers to dribble, who'll like dribble it out, regardless, he'll score off a catch and shoot, he'll dribble like crazy and try to break you down. There's no one on this Nets team outside of Kevin Durant who can consistently break somebody down. So to me, it's like there's not really a guy that you kind of outside of Kevin Durant, because we all know Kevin Durant, obviously, he's a phenomenal talent and he's going to go get his. But outside of Kevin Durant, there's no guy who can really get the rock, call an ISO and break you down. They don't have anything like that. Like, you know, if Blake Griffin on top of the key got the ball, you throwing Jrue Holiday on him, you throwing Chris Middleton. No, you're going to be like, bro, go ahead, throw somebody else on him, mate. Throw Brooke on him. You see what I'm saying? That's the only reason why I'm saying I don't think there'll be as much pressure, but I mean, I see your point as well, because, again, you do need one of them to step up. So that way that you know for a fact that the series is in control, because momentum is on the Bucks side right now. So I do see your point. But to me, I you can make an argument on the other side. There's really not that much pressure considering the fact that, like, one of them is going to be like, okay, because if you think about it, Chris Middleton can go 0-for. He could take zero shots and focus on Kevin Durant, and then you got Giannis and Drew Holiday doing their thing. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, I get your point, though, but honestly, I don't think for them, in terms of winning this series or this upcoming game, I don't think the pressure is on them unless they start off like 0-7 and then they start forcing shots. You know what I mean? I think the pressure would build as the game goes on, but I don't know. I just don't think there's that much pressure on those two specifically. I'm not talking about the Bucks.
No, we're going to agree to disagree because I think there's a lot of pressure on them. But nonetheless, I think we all agree the door is open for Milwaukee. Don't half-ass it because this is the biggest window as you're going to get when it comes to these Brooklyn Nets because we all know at full powered, this probably wouldn't have been a series. So nonetheless, Milwaukee, take advantage. But I do want to transition to fight night because, you know, the UFC 263 did not disappoint. You know, it was a great event because, you know, that's what Dana White does. He gives us a good show, and we had a great bout. You know, the style bender himself, Israel Adesanya, went out there and, you know, I'm not sure if you want to say it was a dominant performance, but nonetheless, they won the distance and the man won the fight. You know, I think Vettori played a good fight, but it just wasn't enough to beat that man right there. See the guy calling him right there? That guy, Izzy? That guy's a man. I think he's becoming a young goat in his trend right now. I know we're all very happy for, for Brandon Moreno, you know, defeating Figgy in that flyweight match. You know, anybody who saw the fight, and even you saw the clip there, can just see the emotion just pouring out of him. You know, the guy, it's hard not to like Brandon Moreno. You know, he's just a straight up guy. You know, he comes across very clear cut, and I'm very happy to see him become a new champ. And you know, Leon Edwards defeated a fan favorite, Nate Diaz, which was a really good banger fight. You know, Nate Diaz is out there with the blood and stuff. It was a great show of pride. So, you know, just give me your reactions to fight night 263.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I talking about those big three, bro. Leon Edwards, Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz was out there doing Nate Diaz things. My man out here doing the stock and slap. He's literally turning his back to Edwards. I'm like, all right, bro. You know, like Diaz definitely still got it. What really blew my mind was not only that Diaz's cardio was still there, and not only was he taking some killer shots from Edwards, but the last round, my man caught him. He hit him with a slap. Look at that. Hit him with a slap and right over was like, oh, you thought I was done? Rocked him, sent him to the I was watching it in my mind. I thought all the hard work Edwards went through, Leon Edwards, all that hard work, all the bad luck with the fights getting canceled, all this stuff. It went up in smoke in the last round. And you literally see him literally running to try to make sure. And every time Diaz tried to close up on him, he would grab him and he would do anything to survive. I was like, Diaz definitely still got it. Like, I was actually ecstatic. And mind you, I'm really not the biggest Diaz fan in the world, but that fight got me ecstatic.
Can I just say, though, I think to me it's amazing that Diaz still looks better than Tony Ferguson at this point in their careers. Like, I thought Tony Ferguson would last longer than Nate Diaz, but it's actually been the complete opposite.
Exactly, the complete opposite. Diaz still surviving, doing his thing, bro. So that was funny to me. Brandon Moreno, I had Figgy winning. But again, I thought it was going to be closer than what Joe was saying. Joe was saying it was going to be a blowout, and I was like, I got Figgy. But again, that's not something I was going to make a bet on because I thought it was going to be a knockout. But like, wow, not only was Moreno working, but Figgy just came in thinking it is going to be like the first fight all over again. This is going to be a breeze. Yeah. And when you go in with that mentality, you're kind of already at a disadvantage because now what you're doing is I'm going to make no adjustments. I'm going to be lackadaisical. I'm going to chill out. And Moreno came out from the jump like, nah, like I'm catching this dub whether you like it or not. It don't matter if it's UD. Doesn't matter if it's submission. Doesn't matter if it's knockout. I'm getting this dub. And shout out to Figgy, bro. Figueroa had the sportsmanship. The dude just tapped. And he's hyping the crowd up to give this kid respect. He's like, bro, shout out to Figgy, bro. Because a lot of dudes would have been mad and had sour grapes. Because every time I think of a guy losing, I think of, and maybe I'm just being a cornball, but I think of Luke Rockhold. When Mike Bisping knocked him out, and Mike Bisping went up the second time to touch gloves, and he said no. And Mike Bisping was like, don't worry, pal, you just got knocked out. Every time I see a guy lose his title, I think of, okay, they're going to act like Luke Rockhold. Because I ain't going to lie. If I was a fighter, I'd be like Luke Rockhold. I had my arms crossed. And in the post-media conference, they asked me, why'd you think he lost? He didn't win. I gave him the win. I'd be the epitome of unsportsmanship. I'm not even gonna lie. But shout out to him. Moreno is the first Mexican-born UFC champion, bro. I mean, that kid came out electric. And it's crazy because as soon as he won, he was like, oh, wait, I won? Oh, my God, I won. And then he started crying. Like, there was, like, a few seconds where, like, in his mind, it was, like, delayed where he was like.
It's like reality was setting in, like, oh, my God, yeah, I'm actually a champion right now.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah. Congratulations to him. The next fight needs to be that rematch. I definitely want to see that rematch.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure Moreno definitely would not be opposed to it. So I definitely want to see that rematch. And then, obviously, the main event, Marvin Vettori versus Israel Adesanya. I was laughing. First of all, I laugh when every judge said that it was unanimous, 50-45. And Marvin is like, I'm like, bruh, look, fam, when you rewatch the tape, you're going to feel even dumber for making that face. No way on God's green earth you think you won a single round. I'm like, to me, if you think you won a round,
feel me, bro? Like, not for nothing. You could have made a better case in the first fight, but this one was like undoubtedly.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, if you want to see the first fight, okay, fine, whatever. I'll concede that. But this one wasn't even fair. It really wasn't. Every single time he tried to take him down, I think he only had like 4 takedowns. And of those 4, Adesanya reversed 2 of them. Like you're a wrestler. Adesanya supposedly doesn't understand how to move on the ground. But for some unknown reason, the guy is almost, I don't want to say effortlessly, but the guy just is like getting out, like no problem. And he almost had him in a rear naked choke. And it was bizarre because Izzy is like, okay, I'm in a rear naked choke. Let me be calm. And he was calm. Like, I at no point did I ever see Izzy panic, be nervous when he was on the floor. None of that. I didn't see any of that, which frankly was what a lot of people thought was going to happen in this fight. They thought that Marvin Vettori was going to get him on the floor more consistently, and he was going to be nervous. When I didn't see any of that from Izzy at all. Like, if anything, I almost saw him want to go to the ground. Like, if he went to the ground, he kind of let it happen, fell, and was like, okay, now this is your skill. I'm going to embarrass you. It almost felt like that was his game plan. It's almost as if, yo, Izzy, try not to go to the floor. Okay, I got it, bro. Oh, wait, you're about to take me down? Okay. Whee, let's go. And he would fall down purposely and then just get out easy. I'm like, bro. And I'm watching the fight, bro. And it's funny because when I was watching the fight, our boy Jose, shout out to you. He said, I don't like the fact that Marvin's corner told him he lost the first round. He didn't like that. And he made it a further point where he was like, I don't like it that they keep telling him that. And my point is, I understand you know, I get it. You don't want to knock your fighter down. But at the same time, you need to let him know, bro, we're losing. What you're doing is not working. Man. Bro, it's like, bro, plan A is not working. Plan B is not working. Mm-hmm. Plan C is not working. Bro, it's to the point we're about to run out of plans and start going to numbers. Like, we need to change what we're doing, bro, because this is getting ridiculous. And he didn't like that. And Marvin Vettori's like, oh, no, I won that round. I'm like, fam, the only way you won the round is if you were in the octagon by yourself. What are you talking about? I'm like, every round, in terms of significant strikes, Israel is outlanding you. But you think you're doing damage? I'm like, bro, the only damage you're doing is to your reputation when you come out thinking that you actually won. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look, if you want to say it for the first fight, like you said, JJ, if you want to make a case for the first fight, okay, fine. I understand. That's fine. But the second fight, there's no way you can excuse that. None whatsoever. Adesanya, after that, called out Whitaker, and people are like, oh, my God, why Whitaker? And I'm like, again, he's ranked number 1 in that division.
Yep.
So who are you going to call out? The number 15 guy?
That's the fight.
Like, the only logical thing, when you're calling someone out,
I think people were probably expecting him to call out another light heavyweight and have him go back up and wait.
No.
But nah. I get it, bro.
And the only reason I say nah is because at that point, you either got to strip him of that middleweight title and just say, you fought Ryan, just go up there. But at the same time, if he's going to fight someone, he's going to fight someone in rank. Because think about it. The only reason he wants light heavyweight is because he's still, for some unknown reason, desperately chasing that John Jones fight. Which to me is bizarre because you just land to Blachowicz. If you lost to Blachowicz, yeah, John is eating you for breakfast, bro. You want to talk about Pico game?
I will say this. It'll be more stylistic of a fight, you know what I mean? Because John wouldn't be afraid to strike with him.
You're sounding like Joe.
That's what I'm saying. Because
you can't say styles always make the fights. Because remember, Francis Ngannou, the style that he shouldn't have fought against was Stipe.
I'm not debating that, but I'm just saying, wouldn't John Jones and Adesanya be blockbuster?
No. Not now.
I think it will be a blockbuster.
Not right now.
Instead of fighting Blachowicz, he had fought John, yes, I would say that. But now, considering he just went up there, didn't add any weight, and then got, like, in essence, exposed.
And that was his mistake. That was his mistake.
110%. 110%. And not only that, John is moving up to heavyweight. So now, let's say John wins, right? If John wins, you think he's coming back to light heavyweight? Nope. He's not going to come down to light heavyweight unless he loses. And even then, I don't think he'll come down because I don't think he'll want to avenge the loss.
I think he's more heavyweight now. Like,
right.
Anybody who hasn't seen John Jones lately, like, this man looks like his brother. He looks bigger than Chandler. Like,
yeah, way bigger. And supposedly when he was light heavyweight, the only people he would train with were heavyweights. He would roll with heavyweight. So, like, for John, this isn't really an issue. The issue is more along the lines of, let's just make sure, I can handle my cardio, adding a little bit of extra muscle.
For sure.
That's the only test that's going on for him. So, but yeah, people are upset that he called out Robert Whittaker, and I'm like, okay, who else y'all want him to call out? Like, because he lost in the heavyweight. There's no way he's gonna end up going back there. Like, so to me, bro, I mean,
I will throw this computer out the window.
Jake Paul. Yeah, but I like the card. I am curious to see because. Daniel Cormier did say something very interesting, and he said for Leon Edwards, if he's not fighting for the title, he should be fighting Jorge Masvidal. And I'm like, sure, but why wouldn't he get a title shot? It's kind of my question. Because Diaz was supposed to be the test for him. They were a test for each other. It was a test for Nate to see if it could still hang, and it was a test for Leon Edwards to see, this is a big name, no matter how you look at it. Can you hang with him? He hung with him. So my thing is, why isn't he going to get a title shot now? That'd be my question. Now, do I think he's winning? No, that's none of my business. But anyway, I mean, top to bottom, I like the card. I rocked with it. It wasn't bad at all,
Yeah, the card was great. And Sander, you came on here on Friday's show and you said, hey, I think Brandon Moreno is going to be the new champion. And boom.
Yeah, I got a little side eye from you too. You was like, nah, man, Figgy.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
He got it. And I'm like, come on, man. So my whole thing, there was a great card up and through and through. Even that the girl fight, I think it's Megan Anderson, that's her name. She got a W, and I think she might be challenging this girl for the women's championship. What's her name? Jesus Christ, she's one of the not Amanda. Shevchenko.
Valentina.
She might be challenging Shevchenko for the next title about. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, that's true. But nonetheless, man, starting off with Leon and Diaz, Leon was dominating that entire fight. Like, as much as Diaz was clowning him and doing all the Brockton stuff, it wasn't looking pretty because Leon Edwards was straight smacking him up. At one point, I think Leon had, I think he hit him at the eye poke or something like that. And he went to like, yo, you check up on him, yo, you good? And Diaz was like, nah, man, get away from me. And Leon was like, what? What's going on? So that fight was just energetic. It was
classic Nate Diaz.
And then, of course, the last minute, 10, 50 seconds left of the fight, Diaz cracks him. And at that moment, I'm thinking, like, if I was playing the game UFC, and I landed that shot, I'm button smashing everything on my remote. I'm over here tapping jabs, tapping hooks. I'm doing everything I could. If you could ask Carol, my girl, you would have seen her. She's like, bang, bang, calm down. I'm like, yeah, Diaz, get him. But it was that exciting, man. It was that exciting. Nonetheless, I think the only reason why Leon isn't getting a title shot next because I think Kamaru's going to be fighting Colby Covington next. That's what the word is. I think Colby Covington is next. And then if Leon does fight Masvidal, obviously if he wins, he'll get a title shot guaranteed. But that's the rumor. I'm not 100% on it, but that's what I'm hearing. Guys, Figgy and Moreno, too. I said it here on Friday. I was like, yo, it's going to be just as good as the first fight. It's going to be exciting. I really thought that Figgy was going to go in there, like Joe said, with the killer mentality because he took the first fight on 21 days notice. He had an entire camp for this one. So even though I was rooting for Moreno, my head was telling me Figgy's gonna kill this kid because the experience is there. He's God of War, for God's sake. You understand? When a man comes in the ring and he's being announced and he just goes, ah, before every fight. If you're not hard, you're gonna get scared by a dude like that. I'm sorry, but every time you put that picture up, JJ, I think of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, man, for real. I really do. Every time you put that picture. And congratulations, a beautiful moment.
Did he just call Brandon Moreno Quasimodo?
He looked like Quasimodo in that picture, bro. Don't be dumb, bro. Come on. But to Price point, Figgy showed tremendous sportsmanship, especially, you know, with the stuff that happened pre-fight. You know, I think Figgy had some beef with Moreno because Moreno was, I guess, talking a lot. But you can't blame a kid like Moreno. He's a young kid in this era. He's going to hype up. He's going to talk a lot, whatever. But nonetheless, he showed great sportsmanship, picking him up like that, recognizing a champion. And I think Figgy's going to make a run because after this fight, I think Figgy came into the mentality with that nonchalantness. Like, yo, I got this. Because if you watch that fight from beginning to end, Figueredo never set up anything. Almost everything he threw, like the announcers were saying, he was just loading up and launching. He wasn't setting up with his jab. He wasn't setting up with his leg kicks. And Joe, I remember you talking to me about how Moreno was not good on the ground. He wasn't going to improve on his wrestling. My man, Moreno was a really great Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. And he straight up submitted Figgy. When he locked in that choke, I'm like, dude, get the left arm. Get the left arm. My girl's like, babe, what are you talking about? And he got the left arm. He got the left arm. And he tapped them, bro. I was so happy because the joy in this kid, like I said, he's a young buck. He's a new champion, firstborn Mexican fighter to become a champion. And then if you hear the crowd roaring, because yeah, there was a lot of Mexicans there. A lot of Mexico was there to support him. So, you know, he had the crowd. It was just a perfect storm for Moreno. Congratulations. I wish nothing but the best for him. I hope he gets all the great fights coming up. And I wouldn't mind seeing a Figueroa and Moreno 3. That'd be good. I wouldn't want it right now, though. I think he probably got to go back, retool a few things, get another fight under his belt, get that win, and then he could challenge again. Because Moreno showed that he not only can hang, but he's at that level now. So I think, you know, I think both guys, they're going to go their separate ways right now, but they'll meet again. I'll be excited for a 3. The main event, yo, Pride, we was battling Joe, bro. We was both fighting Joe, telling him, yo, you screaming Vettori got better. Name the 5 dudes other than Hermanson. Who were the 5 guys that he fought? You could get better fighting guys, but you can't get exponentially better beating bums compared to the guys that Izzy fought. Izzy fought Paulo Costa. He fought Yoel Romero. He fought this dude that he's planning on fighting again. He's fought the best of the best. So you got to understand, he took an L, but he took an L to a dude that was 30, 40 pounds heavier than him. That blueprint that you guys were talking about, Iggy grabbed it, ripped it up, and threw it away because that doesn't work. That doesn't work on guys that are his weight. When you got 30 pounds to throw around extra, yeah, you're going to dominate in the wrestling game, my man. You're not going to do what John Blachowicz did when you're a guy like Vettori, mind you. Vettori looked the biggest I've ever seen him. He looked the biggest I've ever seen him in that fight. Now, I know he's a big dude naturally, and he's been putting in the work every day. Like his training camp says that he's hitting the gym every day. So you're going to get swole. But nonetheless, all that buff, like the movie Malibu's Most Wanted, all that buffness for no reason, because he ain't know what to do with it, bro. What we talked about, Pride, in the first fight, yeah, he took him down, but what did he do on the ground? Absolutely nothing. He didn't do, in this fight, he actually was actually, you know, throwing some pity pat hits. He actually got a rear naked choke where even Iggy said, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure he thought he had me, but he ain't never had me. And when he flipped him, he had his hands on his neck. And he was in the post conference, he says, I told him, oh, I bet you're scared shitless now. And I'm pretty sure I was watching the fight. And when he had his hands, I'm like, yeah, talk your shit, Izzy. Talk your shit. Because, dude, you may not say that it was complete domination the entire fight, JJ, but I'll tell you what, Izzy didn't lose an entire round. He wasn't losing an entire second. He was never put in trouble. And even when Vettori had him on the ground, it wasn't even for long, because Adesanya has worked on his wrestling, has learned how to get away from it, made him look like a joke to the point where he had him on the fence. And what did my man Izzy do? He grabbed him and smacked him on the ass a few times, because it was at that point, it was child's play. What are you going to do? All you do is bring him to the cage, and Izzy's defense is phenomenal. It's getting better. What you guys said about Kamaru Usman a few shows back, a few pay-per-views back, when you guys said, when I was against him and I was going for Masvidal, and you guys said a really dope thing. You guys said, this is his time. He's at his peak. Right now, he's at a level. He's at Ultra Instinct. He's at the peak level. Adesanya has entered the Matrix. Adesanya right now has officially put his name in the cap with the Anderson Silvas, with the GSPs. He's that talented and only getting better. In this division, if he can stay in that division, not only is he going to clean out that division and possibly we're going to see a lot of Adesanya versus twos, because he's going to beat these guys. They're going to go on little runs, and he's still going to be champion. So he's going to get a lot of sequels. That's how good Adesanya is. I understand Vettori was this wrestling specialist, but a guy like Adesanya negates that with his striking, had him fearful, didn't even want to shoot toward the end, because every time he shot, all he did was just stand still. It was a joke. Vettori, you're good, bro, but you ain't that good. I'm sorry. So, and to have the nerve for Adesanya to be like, yo, we may not respect each other, but you got to give it to me. I won that fight. No, man, I respect you, but I definitely won this fight. What? What crack you smoking? Because whatever you smoking has a pipe. So, dude, I'm just saying, bro, it was a great card. It was a really good card. I was so happy with Moreno. I'm so proud of Adesanya for, you know, handling his business. And I'm excited, guys. UFC, we are hardly ever disappointed with UFC cards. Hardly ever. And thanks to that man, Dana White. And it was just a great card, guys. Through and through.
Yeah, to your last point, Sander, and Pride said it during his soliloquy, when he said the only damage he did was to his reputation, talking all foolish like that. Come on, Vettori. You just look foolish, man. Listen, the Leon Edwards and Nate Diaz fight, you know, it was the Nate Diaz show. I know he took the L, but he was the most entertaining fighter in that ring. And Leon Edwards, you know, was the better fighter in that fight. And I do believe that he will get his chance soon. I do think that him fighting Masvidal is actually the appropriate fight, because, like you guys mentioned, Usman is set to fight Covington next. So I think that was just set up for the next number one contender. And I think this is just me. I think Leon Edwards is going to put it on Street Jesus. That's all I'm saying. Next fight.
There's a lot of money in that fight. Then it would be
a lot of yapping because, you know, Masvidal, he's up there with Conor McGregor almost.
Dude, Masvidal punched him in the back. Masvidal and Leon Edwards had that scuffle in the back when Leon Edwards knocked out the dude from the UK. And then they had the background of Leon. And that's where two-piece in a soda comes from. Because Masvidal punched Leon Edwards backstage. So they had
you got some bad blood there. So that's going to be very entertaining fight when it does come. You know, I do think that Figgy came out with, you know, this demeanor. Like, I'm champ. I got this. And Moreno just came in there with the heart of a champion and was out there and like, yo, I want this. And I'm not so happy for Moreno. I would definitely be happy to see a part three of them too, because it just seems like it's just going to be a classic trilogy that we're all going to be excited to watch. And again, congratulations to Moreno. You know, you over there and you're calling him Quasimodo during his happiest moment, which I think is hilarious. But you know, when you're riding that emotional high, you know, you don't even care, bro. Like Pride said, it didn't even hit him until, like, I feel like that belt was finally on him, that he's like, holy smack, I am the UFC flyweight champion of the world, and he deserves it. Now it's all about, you know, it's hard to become champion. It's harder to remain champion. So I'm very excited to see how his title defense runs, because it's going to start sooner than later. So he better be ready, because people are going to want to see Brandon Moreno again. I know I'm going to be excited to see him defend this title. So excited for him. Listen, I think Adesanya is a little baby goat in the making. The way that this guy is making his resume for himself, he's just beating everybody. Sander, you mentioned you're going to have a lot of part twos because I feel like he's just going to recycle these guys. You know, the Vittoris, the anyone who comes in that ring. Listen, I would love to buy a time machine and get Adesanya versus Silva in their primes together in a fight. Oh, my Lord, would that have been such a special fight? Listen, I got Anderson Silva because Anderson Silva is one of my favorite fighters to ever grace the UFC octagon. That dude was just amazing to watch. But do I think Izzy and him will be a great fight? Absolutely. You know, Adesanya right now, his reign in the UFC right now is just – I mean, he does have the one blemish. He did fight Jan and did lose. But I don't think there's any shame in losing to Blachowicz because he himself is a champion. He's a pretty damn good one, so – no shame in losing to him, Pride, but nonetheless, UFC 263, thank you, Dana White.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get why Kobe Covington is fighting Kamaru Usman. Like, bro, like that, to me, that, I don't want to call it a joke, but it's a joke. Because, like,
he,
to quote Kamaru Usman, I broke your face. Like, and that's not a joke, bro. That's not a joke. Like, when he says that, he's being honest. And then after that, he only fought one more time against what? A washed-up Tyron Woodley? I mean, to me personally, I don't see the appeal. I don't see. I mean, the only thing is because Kobe's like, oh, yeah, I like Trump, and I'm going to call Brazil a dump and all that. I mean, I guess, but that was the hype-up we had the first fight. And then he got mollywopped to oblivion. So to me,
I got a question for you guys, and it's a little unrelated, but I'm just very curious what you guys think, and I'm going to have you answer first, Pride. Now, you know, Africa with the champions right now, they're dominated. They got Adesanya, they got Ngannou, and they got Usman.
I think I know.
Who do you think is the best fighter of the three?
Yep, Usman, and it's not even close. Okay. Usman is not even close. The reason is just because Usman's got phenomenal ground game. And he's the only guy of the three of them who, with every fight, somehow gets better. And it's not just by a little bit. It's to the point where you can actually see it, and you're like, whoa. Like, every single time he comes out, he gets better. Like, Francis Ngannou, and again, I was sucking him dry, bro. I was on him, and when I was screaming, Stipe gonna get knocked out. I was like, no way, you know. But again, we only saw one takedown. Well, we only saw Stipe shoot once, and then he stuffed it. The thing with Usman is he's constant every round. First, we said he can't strike. Broke open face. Now he got no knockout power.
I said that.
To me, it's like at what point, you know what I mean? Like, the guy is just somehow getting better and better and better and better and better. There's still a couple holes in Israel's game. Now, I say this saying I genuinely believe that, if I'm not mistaken, the three who are African is Adesanya, Francis Ngannou, and Kamaru Usman. Yeah. I do believe those three are going to have long title reigns. I think so.
And I was going to say this after Sanders' soliloquy, but isn't it just scary that all three of these guys are in the prime at the same time?
Imagine, bro. What's scarier is, if y'all have never heard of it, go look up Francis Ngannou's story. This man almost died.
Listen to that.
So all this nonsense about the octagon don't scare him. My man, I'm going to say this one more time.
This man almost died.
And he's out here fighting. Death can't beat this man. So what does he got?
He's one and over to death.
but of all of them, I think if I'm going to rank them, I'm going to say, and I might catch some flack for this, I'm going to say it's Usman 1, Ngannou 2, and I got Adesanya 3.
Okay.
And that's just me. I mean, some people can have Adesanya too, which is fine. I'll live with that. But if Kamaru Usman isn't number one, come see me. So that way I can buy the glasses so that you can see the reality of Kamaru Usman being number one.
I'm going to come see him. Ready? I'm going to come see him, guys. I'm going to come see him because I love everything you said, Pride. But out of the three, I'm going to say Adesanya's one, Kamaru Usman's two, and Ngannou's three. Kamaru Usman is great, all-time great. But Adesanya's been doing this outside of the UFC as well. He was a multiple-time world champion in kickboxing for plenty of years. He won championships in multiple divisions, not just middleweight. He went to middleweight, lightweight, and heavyweight in kickboxing. And he had a record of like over 50 wins, over 80 wins. So over 80 fights, over 50 wins. So I think Adesanya right now, if it's just pure fighter, I would go that Adesanya is the better fighter out of Usman and Adesanya, out of them two. Because I think if Ngannou's been fighting since he was 12, 13 years old, he'd be Hulk. He'd be the real life Hulk. But I just think, you know, the experience is there with Adesanya. He's been doing it for a lot longer than Kamaru Usman has. Yes, Kamaru Usman has, like you said, he gets better every single fight.
Thank you, Robert.
Fight. He gets better every single fight. But Adesanya's only losses to a guy that was 30 to 40 pounds bigger than him. So I understand this whole concept of Usman being in a position right now where he's untouchable, but so is Adesanya. Adesanya is really untouchable right now. So, yeah, I just think right now you can't really compare a dude, you know, that's been fighting for over 10 plus years in kickboxing and then went to the UFC. You know, Kamaru Usman has only been he's only wrestled and just started striking once he got to the UFC. It's really
that striking.
That's fine.
He's
still better? Is
he's breaking still better? Jaws with that striking.
Is he still better, bro? Is he still better?
Guys, we got to wrap it up because we got one more block. But I will say this, no matter one, two, or three, all three of those guys right now in their prime, all representing their beautiful country of Africa. Keep representing your country well, guys, because right now I don't see any guy in your divisions knocking you guys right now because you guys are on top and will remain on top for a long time. God forbid anything happen. But nonetheless, I do want to transition to the NFL because there's a little troubled water in your New England Patriots right now, Pride. Stephon Gilmore was absent out of the mandatory minicamp, which got everybody with a little side eye like, what's going on over there? And, you know, anybody that's paid a little attention knows that Stephon Gilmore for a while now has been wanting a new contract. So it's not 100% surprising, but nonetheless, you know, Patriot players are usually soldiers and show up to camp. So it's kind of weird not to see one there. So what do you think that the Patriots should do with Stephon Gilmore, Pride?
There's nothing to do. The guy's injured. People forget that. He personally tore his quad against the Dolphins. The guy's injured. He's still rehabbing. What you want him? What? All right. Let's bring him into to the camp. Right. Let's bring him in. He's injured. Don't matter. We gonna make him run full contact, please. If he gets injured again, it is what it is. Like no, like he's injured, bro. The guy's still rehabbing. I'm not concerned at this at all. If he was healthy, and not doing this. I'm like whoa. What's going on here? But the fact that he's still rehabbing, I'm not concerned yet. If he's healthy, if he comes out himself and says, I either give me more money or I'm out of here, or if he's healthy and holds out, okay, you got me. By the way, Rob, we ain't cool no more, bro, because when you said F the Nets, I was with you. Now you're disrespected. I'm going to hit it for you one time.
The greatest organization to ever grace God's green earth, the New England Patriots.
You're just a hater, Rob. You feel me? Success ain't for everybody. You feel me? Success ain't for everybody. It's almost like being a Yankees fan. You feel me? You guys want to live in the past.
Listen, pride. Rob, just like Sander, is a proud Cowboys fan. So
nothing to be proud about. But anyway, we're talking with Stephon Gilmore. I'm not worried. Because again, if he was healthy, I'm tripping. I ain't going front. If he was fully healthy and he was sitting out and it was solely because of the contract, I'd be bugging out. I have a feeling. I don't think Bill Belichick is going to do him dirty. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. He's too good.
I just don't see him going, oh, how much you want? Oh, I'm a half it. I don't see him doing that because they still got some room. Now, obviously, they're not going to blow him to oblivion. They're not going to, like, give him what he want. But, you know, they're going to give him a little something. I'm not concerned yet. I want to wait till he gets healthy and then see his move. If he's healthy and then he's still saying, don't talk to me, any of that, JJ, I would be concerned. But the guy's still – he's you know, rehabbing. He's still doing his off-the-field stuff, making sure he's healthy. He's still talking with the team. He's still in communication with Bill Belichick and the office.
There's no bad blood at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, again, we're not to the point where, like, the bridge is about to burn and oh, my God, we got to get rid of – we're not – and this that man did Tom Brady dirty, he not doing Gilmore dirty. Well, there's differences because Tom – again – The reason he did Tom Brady dirty was because he wanted to move on to a younger guy. Stephon Gilmore he's still playing at an elite level. Not only that, he's in terms of his age, if I'm not mistaken, he's only 30.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a bad comparison to put. That's a bad comparison to use because, again, Tom Brady was older, and Bill Belichick's motto is, I'd rather get rid of you a year early than a year too late. Stephon Gilmore is still an elite corner, and age is still on his side. So that's a horrible comparison. But, again, I wouldn't expect anything else from a Colts fan. You feel me? You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm a violate. And he said, how did that work out for the Pats? Bro, it don't matter. Look, you're right. You're right, Rob. It didn't work out for us in the long run. But the reason it did not work out was simple. Our offense, don't matter who we had there, it could have been a prime Tom Brady, prime Aaron Rodgers. I don't care. Whoever you think is the GOAT. In that offense with how horrible our wide receiver core was, we weren't going to win. That's just kind of a fact you got to deal with as a Patriots fan. The last year Tom Brady was there, we weren't going to win. We accept that. And you said they don't pay anyone. Well, you sound like Boo Boo the mo-flipping fool. Because when we got Stephon, we paid him. You dummy. So, Jose, get out of here. But anyway, I'm not concerned. I'm going to give him a little bit of time, and then we go from there.
Well, what they should do, I think they got to cut ties with him. I don't think Stephon Gilmore actually even wants to be there anymore, quite honestly. When was the last time you really heard of a star defensive player on the New England Patriots led by Bill Belichick miss a mandatory minicamp? You don't really ever see it. So the fact that he didn't show up, well, you could be injured and still show up. That's what leaders do.
He was rehabbing during the time.
You can still show up. That doesn't mean you have to participate.
Be at two places at once?
You really think that was rehabbing. Pride, you don't rehab all day, my man. You could take out a half a day or whatever to go to the mini camp, at least to show face, bro. That's all I'm saying.
And if you show face, Bill Belichick is going to say, why are you here? Go home and rehab.
Pride, when was the last time one of your defensive stars missed the mandatory mini camp and was still wearing
Patrick Chung? Patrick Chung!
A defensive star. Not a guy that just plays defense, bro. A defensive star. Did you see your guy Hightower?
They were healthy. They came into it healthy. That's the part you're missing. The guy's injured.
He's been rehabbing this whole offseason, bro. You're telling me that he's still hurt?
Do you know what injury he had? He tore his quad. If you're telling me that's an easy – if you're telling me that's
not – Exactly my point, Jose.
Injury, you're a moron.
That's what I'm saying, Jose. That's what I'm saying. He can rehab there. He can be at the organization. I'm not saying that he has to step on the court and do – it is mandatory.
No, it's not actually. It's not – you don't have – No. That's another misconception. If you – it's mandatory, it's not mandatory that you rehab at the facility. That's not mandatory.
But it's mandatory you show up.
No, but that's not mandatory, is my point. If you're injured and you're rehabbing, it's not mandatory to rehab at the facility. Now, if he's healthy and he's skipping, that's a whole nother discussion. But the guy's injured, and if he wants to rehab somewhere else, who are we?
I'm saying, Pride, he didn't give Bill Belichick a letter saying he wasn't going to show up.
He just didn't show up. No call, no show, bro. When you do that at jobs, you get fired, bro. You get fired. So let's not sit here and act like everything is good and dandy. Are you sitting here and acting like things are peaches?
Are you acting like peaches? He went out and said, I want to get out of New England?
We've been talking about Stephon Gilmore leaving the Patriots since last season. Since last season, these talks have been around.
They've been rumors, yeah. But I don't think they've been rumors
that Bill Belichick is Stephon Gilmore shut down. We're reaching that bad?
No. Rumors that Gilmore was on the move. He was on the move since last season, bro. What are you talking about? You must be smoking the same shit Vittori's smoking. I'm telling you, bro. Gilmore he's been on the move. He's been on the move since last season. Since last season, there were rumors of him being on the go because New England was not going to pay him.
So why come Bill Belichick understand he's not on the move?
You want to know why? Swing and a miss to you, bro. That's not how the Patriots don't
move. You like Aaron Hicks, you batting 156
The Patriots don't move like that, You acting like the Patriots are always weak and shit. They're not. They're really not. Every time something happens with the Patriots, we learn about it right then and there because there's hardly ever things that are leaked out. The thing about Stephon Gilmore wanting to be traded, that was leaked in the beginning of the offseason of last season. Where are you, bro?
But then he says he wants to stay.
Where are you?
that he says he wants to stay, and he said he's willing to stay with New England to give him a contract.
If he wants to stay, he would have been there day one and mandatory minicamp. He would have been there.
He's injured. That goes to show you.
His heart isn't in New England anymore. He wants to get paid, and he knew. He knows that New England is not going to pay him. It's not. They're really not. And I don't think that New England should. He is aging. He's getting to an age where injuries are starting to come. So they shouldn't have to pay top dollar for him. But this is the age. This is the age where players start to break down. Okay, so players don't break down after 30 years old.
They're no, because now you're trying to make it seem like this year he's going to be out when he's never played under 11 games.
Here, let me get in here. Listen, am I going to overreact to this? No. Am I surprised that Stephon Gilmore didn't show up? Yes. But I do think that they are going to come to grips and do restructure some contract where he does get paid, because Stephon Gilmore is only scheduled to make $7 million this year, and he obviously wants to get paid. You know, we saw it on earlier where Jalen Ramsey's trying to recruit him and get him out to L.A. You know, he's what he says, I'm like, oh, Mookie Betts going from Boston to L.A. was good. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's Yeah, you know, I don't think exactly how that will work. But nonetheless, you know, I do understand that he's still rehabbing. I'm not sure how healthy he is at the moment. But I did figure that Stephon Gilmore would at least show face to the mandatory camp. You know, I don't think that the team is going to fine him for not showing up. He's that good of a player. I think he's earned enough clout where he can miss a mandatory appearance or two. But I do want to see him show up, because I do think that the best place for Stephon Gilmore is in New England at the moment. Sure, there are other contending teams, but I do think based on what he does best, I do think playing in that Bill Belichick defense will be most beneficial to him at the moment.
All I'm saying is Bill Belichick will find him. If he doesn't find him, I mean,
whether or not Gilmore's leaving, I don't know.
That's something that remains to be seen, because again, I don't know what type of money he wants. If he goes to the Colts, that's fine. He's never going to win another chip again. That's fine. He can go over there. It don't matter. Is he staying with New England? I don't know. I really don't, because again, for him, it's like, who's going to pay me? Who's going to give me enough money to stay? That's his thing, and that's fine. Bill Belichick threw a checkbook at him one time. I believe Bill Belichick will do it again.
I think they'll extend him.
Right, but to act like, oh my God, he missed it. Oh my God, it's over. It's over. Like,
Skittles, he doesn't.
Dudes don't understand the concept of like, and people talk about, oh, what if you think he told Bill Belichick?
I'll take it, Sander. I guarantee he told Bill Belichick,
yo, I ain't going. I guarantee it. Because if Bill Belichick is hard on his best player as he is the worst.
Yeah.
So, like, Stephon Gilmore has been there for a few years. Yeah, you think he's going to hold him, holier than thou? And if he misses something, oh, we'll let it rock. What?
Yeah. Nonetheless, guys, you know, we will be keeping an eye on the Stephon Gilmore watch, because he is one of the
premier elite players. He has three days.
You miss one day. You can fine him. It's a partial fine. Where's the partial fine?
Yeah, okay, he didn't get fined yet, you know. But nonetheless, Stephon Gilmore watch has started, and you will see. Sander, we got to bet on Skittles now. I'm pretty sure he'll stay in New England, but time will tell. Nonetheless, guys, it is Friday, and I'm very excited because we always have our super special block, you know, Stir the Pot Sports Blazing Predictions, presented by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure that you guys have the experienced folks at Rocky Hill Accountants handle your financials. Make sure that you guys ask for Haiti and let her know that your boys from Stir the Pot Sports and Clovercrest Media Group sent you. But yeah, Sander, you've been on fire with these predictions lately, baby. So I'm going to kick it off with you. What you got for me?
Yeah, man. This weekend, it was a really good sports weekend. We had fights. We had fast playoff basketball. My prediction came to fruition, baby. I had the Nets winning not one, but two games, just like my last prediction. And they came through. The Suns, man, they just straight up dismantled the Nuggets, man. The Nuggets just couldn't hang with them. They were missing their gun, Murray, which I think it would have made the series at least a little bit more competitive. Jokic did all he could. They spoiled a 30-20-10 game from him. And then he gets ejected in the elimination game. It just put the icing on the cake.
Which was so soft.
Yeah, man. So dumb. It was really dumb. But nonetheless, man, Phoenix is doing their thing. They've won seven in a row. Chris Paul is being all the leader that he is advertised to be, showing that young team what it is to win. They're on their way to the Western Conference Finals. And Chris Paul and that young Phoenix team is very much live to reach the NBA Finals. So congratulations to Phoenix. Sorry, Jose, I didn't mean to go against you like that, bro. But I felt like I was feeling that. I was feeling like the sweep was coming. So it came, bro.
I'm letting you know right now, you're not getting no food at the cookout.
Oh, I know. I saw him yesterday. I saw him yesterday. He gave me a dirty look. Like.
But I did it to your point for you saying it was soft. I'm not going to give no pass to Cameron Payne because I've never seen a – people want to talk about how LeBron flops. This kid, I thought we needed paramedics. I thought we needed 911. I thought it was Paul George 2.0. I thought his leg snapped. I thought his neck broke. I thought when he
broke his nose. I thought it was going to be blood.
No, and the kid gets up. He goes with his rat feet. I'm okay, coach. Like, get him out of here, man.
Shout out to Jokic because after you know he went up to him, he's like, "Yo, you good? You good?" Give him a little head tap. And they kept pushing. Jokic about that life though. I think Jokic. Was him, like, yo, what you doing, boy?
Devin Booker wanted no pee. He was like, "Yo, what's wrong with you?" Jokic was like, "All right, what's going on?" He goes, "Whoa, puppy, yo, puppy, I work it, puppy, I never stop throw, puppy. No, I don't do nothing." He didn't want the smoke.
MVP, cheers.
Yo, you know who Jokic is? Jokic is that nice guy in high school that's really nice to everybody, but then one day he gets picked on. And then he just pulls a mean side, and everybody's like,
"I thought you was gonna go south with that. I thought you was gonna go south."
Nah, bro, but nah. Listen, man, Jokic has been getting bullied since he came in the league, and he's been trying to be a nice dude. He's been trying to be quiet. The Clippers pushed him overboard. I don't know what they've been whispering, bro. He said, "Yeah." He's like, "What you gonna do?" And Devin Booker was like, "Nah, man, I need an apology from my boy because you hurt him real bad. Like, get out of your light skin feelings, bro." And then afterwards, he tried to be like, "Nah, bro, that's not cool." I'm like, "Don't deepen your voice, bro," because he had you singing he had you singing like a rap, bro. Like, yeah. If Tommy Jerry didn't have any voices, bro, if Jerry had a voice, it's how Devin Booker was speaking. "Nah, man, we good, bro. I just want to know what you're at." Like, nah, bro. Like, listen, bro. Devin Booker made the playoffs and he tried to act different. He like, "Yeah, I'm about it." And yo, Jokic was like,
It might be a little bit of that with a little Kendall Jenner. I don't know. Might be
a lot of Kendall Jenner.
I don't know what it is, but he got
his confidence at an all time high right now. What you got for me, Pride?
His draw finna get tested real soon, so he better drop it.
What you got for me, Pride?
I just wish Joe was here. That's it. I just wanted him to be here. And if he would have came, I wouldn't have pressed him. I wouldn't have. I was very curious to hear the excuses he would have made for Vittori. I said, "It's Ron Tanya, my decision, style bender." And I told everybody, I hate this man with a passion. I despise him with great intensity. If I could fight, I would fight him. But notice I said, "If I could fight," because me going right now, I would have to fight. I'm just going to keep it buck. If I could fight, right, I would. But, like, look, man, the instant the fight started, Adesanya did not – and it's crazy. I say Figgy didn't take the fight with Moreno serious. Izzy did the same thing. He did not take Vittori serious at all. My dude out here, where they grabbed him, my man tried to cup check him. He like, "Hey, yo, you got something to skip?" Like, my man out here, bro, tap on his booty, bro. Like they're bongos. He like, "Doo-doo-doo-doo." Like, I'm like, bro, who? Imagine being that bold. And even worse for Vittori. Nothing came from him. Nothing came from him, bro. And look, man, I desperately want to like Vittori. I want to like him so bad, really desperately. But then when you come out and say stuff like, "No, I won the fight," when you got outstruck in every single round, you are a moron. And that's why you're fighting, because you're not smart enough to do anything else. Period. That's why you're a fighter. Period. And it's going to make me sound messed up. And there's a lot of guys in the sport that have high IQ. Michael Bisping, he's a smart dude. DC is smart. Joe Rogan is smart. Paul Felder is smart. There's a lot of guys you can eat. But there's a subset of guys who fight in the UFC because they're stupid. And Marvin Vittori is one of them.
You can put Kevin Holland on there too.
I'm stupid. So it's a stupid guy calling a stupid guy stupid. You feel me? So if Paul, hey, yo, Marvin, hit the tanning bed. We could be the same color if you want, bro. But when you stupid, bro. I don't know who might it. What I think happened, he came in the fight, and he thought, "Oh, yeah, bro, it's going to be like this, the first fight all over again." Yeah, it was like the first fight all over again, because you took the meanest L, brother. You got a unanimous L, bro. Like, in the first fight, you got a lowercase L. This time, bro, it's an uppercase. And flip it so that way it's a gun, because you just shot your career in the heart, because you're not going nowhere from here, kid. I get it, you young, but, bro, there's levels to it. And unfortunately, bro, if this is Super Mario, you're not making it past World 1-1. So unfortunately for you, brother, you're going to have to go home, redesign, rebuild, reclaim your career, and think, do I want to get beat up for money? And if that's the way, right, you want to go, go ahead. But Marvin, you ain't got nothing, bro. And bro, this is coming from a guy who got nothing in his life either, bro. I'm stupid. I say this all the time. If I had to take IQ tests, I'd owe points. I'm a dummy. I straight up, bro. But 100%, bro, I'm just glad Israel won. Now I can go back to hate him, JJ. Hit him with a passion.
Yeah. At least when you did root for him, he came through for you. So nonetheless, you know. So my prediction, you know, I predicted that Kev Vladdy Jr., that young man, that he was in the cone over here and he's going to hit two home runs against you guys. Unfortunately, I was wrong. He won up me. He hit three against your boys. And they won the series, which I didn't know if it was going to come in a win or a loss. All I wanted was to see Vladdy hit two long balls. And he hit three, and he solidified himself as the sole home run leader at the moment with 21 home runs. We all love Vladdy. I know you hated to see him swing the bat against your beloved greatest organization to ever grace God's green earth, Boston Red Sox, you know. But he had to do it to you guys. You know, I think maybe he watched the show. And he was like, yo, JJ, I got you. I'm going to one-up you. I'm going to hit you three. So shout out to Vladdy. Good job, boy. We love seeing you swing away.
I was amazing, so true. I love his swing. I really do. Like amazing, I said, swing. I love his swing as long as it's not against us. But, bro, we was giving homers to everybody, bro. We was like, Oprah, you get a homer. You get a homer. Oh, but Shea hit one. Bitch, you hit one. Simeon got one. I'm like, all right, Poppy, at some point, bro, we got to stop with the homers, Poppy. Like, what we doing, bro? Like, you feel me? And then I'm thinking, bro, I kid you not. When I saw he got the second home run, I got tight, okay? Through my phone. Almost broke it. I almost hit my kid with it. That's how mad I was. I flung it. I didn't walk in the room. So she got mad and flung it back at me. Like that. And so that was kind of my day. When he hit the third one, depression. Depression. Depression, bro. I don't. And
like he turned into pandemic pride.
Bro, facts. Bro. I'm number 13, bro. I overtook his name. I was Pandemic P, bro, because I was like, yo, get away from me. Everyone's 6 feet away from me, bro, because I'm depressed. Like,
yeah, you know, your Red Sox have been good throughout the whole year, so I think we were all surprised to see that you guys let off eight runs, you know. So, I mean, we doubt that's going to happen again, but it was insane. I never seen eight home runs hit in a game like that, you know. Guys tipped my cap to them. They were looking at the ball fairly well.
I do that on MLB The Show.
It was wild.
That's video game stuff. You're right, Sanders. It's definitely video game stuff. Yeah. Wild. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys visit us on our Twitter, ran by the man Pride himself, at Stir the Pot Sport, and Twitch TV, Clover Crest Media Group. Make sure you guys check out our website, clovercrestmedia.com/stirthepotsports. And make sure you guys listen to us on Spotify under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be there. Just waiting for you guys. And I do want to take a minute, you guys. You know, earlier today, we did reach 1,000 followers mark on our Facebook page, so we want to take the moment to say thank you to you guys. We do it for you guys, and we can't do it without you guys. We, you know, it's just an amazing feeling to reach such a feat, and we can't do it without you guys. So we appreciate and love all your support. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, 100%. Appreciate it. You know, we appreciate the support. Appreciate the likes. Keep liking, and just remember, Pride hates all of you.
We love you though.
I'm kidding. I just I'm beautiful. But all the time, we all appreciate it. You know, you guys are letting us make our dream a reality. So keep up the support, and we promise we'll give you even more content.
Keep on delivering, baby, every week, baby.
You keep loving us, we'll keep providing sports for you guys. I'm JJ Vargas, my brother's Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Yeah.